This is Doug Miller. We are about to see the development of a whole new assembly of Christians. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back once more, by the grace of God, privileged to be here and to be able to speak the word into this microphone and know indeed that it's going out to many people and that many can profit because the word of God is always profitable. We are in the 11th chapter of Acts, and I said at the outset we're about to see the development of a new assembly, and that assembly is in a place called Antioch. And the impact that this assembly will have on Christianity, clear down to this present day, is just enormous. So call a friend, tell them to listen in, bring your Bibles, come along, get ready to see how the Lord was working back in the first century in the early part of the church, and how I'm persuaded he is still working. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far as we can get it out there to as many as we can get it out to. And I am sure you understand, all of you out there, that we are utterly and absolutely dependent upon our listeners and interested parties to see this testimony continue and this word go out. We absolutely must have your prayers. Please pray for Dialogue. And please tell others to listen in. And, of course, I say this every time, we would love to hear from you. We are here for the purpose of helping you and ministering to your needs, whatever those may be. And glad to be able to provide you with any materials that we can. Copies of these recordings of these broadcasts are yours, absolutely free for the asking. No strings of any kind attached. Let us hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Remember, I've said this many times, it's very encouraging to hear from our listeners, to know where you are, to know that you're listening, to know where this broadcast is reaching to. So let us hear from you. If you want to email us, Dialogue Ministries, all small letters, all one word, at sbcglobal.net. That is Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Or you can look up our webpage, dialogueministries.org. Dialogueministries.org, and you can pull down the broadcasts and listen to them and read about Dialogue Ministries. Okay. If you would like to call us, remember, I don't have a secretary sitting at a phone. I'll pick up the phone calls and I'll get back with you. It might take a little time. The number is 405-568-5048. That's 405-568-5048. Okay, let's look at the 11th chapter of Acts now. We have got a scattering going on in verse 19, and it's the scattering that comes after the persecution that had to do with the death of Stephen. Now, you've heard me say this before, but let me say it to you again. The Lord's command, way back before he ever ascended back to his Father, while he was still on this earth after his resurrection, he told these people to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He told them that they would receive power after that the Holy Ghost had come upon them, and they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Well, There they sat still in Jerusalem. I don't know if they, how do you go out with the word? How do you know when to go out? How do you know where to go? Sometimes the Lord in his wisdom takes things in hands, and that is exactly what happened in this case. Now, I think these people were perfectly comfortable in Jerusalem and may have been there even yet. But a persecution arose, and it was that very persecution that forced them out of Jerusalem into other parts of Judea, and even out of Judea into Samaria, and even farther out, all the way to Antioch and places beyond. And what the Lord did, he used persecution to do this. He had to kick them out, as it were. Well, that's okay, isn't it? After all, whatever it takes to get this gospel out, whatever it takes to get the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ out, our Father is in the business of doing that, and the Holy Spirit is in this earth to do that. And, you know, it's not as if these people had to get together and figure out how to do it. The Lord was going to do it, and his hand was in it, and out they go, like it or not. And it says here that they traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Now, that's going to change. That is going to change. And it is amazing to see how the Lord is going to change that. So far, these were Jews coming out of Jerusalem, taking the word as they understood it to of a Jewish Messiah for the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. And these are the ones they are speaking to and giving the gospel to. And you think about it. You're a Jew. You're out in the dispersion. People show up and they say, "We are from Jerusalem. The Messiah has come. The Messiah has come. Have you heard of him?" Well, we heard about this man Jesus who was crucified, but you think he was Messiah? Absolutely. Everything in the scriptures give testimony to this. And of course, the scriptures they had in hand was the Old Testament, what we would call the Old Testament. That's all they had. And notice that some of these people in verse 20 were from Cyprus and Cyrene. Cyrene is in North Africa, and some of them were from there, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now, these Grecians, I am persuaded, were Greek-speaking Jews. I don't believe these were Greek Gentiles. What I see in this are individuals who are out in the dispersion. These people may or may not have even understood Hebrew. But they were Jewish, and they were being evangelized here. The word for preaching here is from the word euangelizomenoi. It's kind of a hard word to say, but euangelizomenoi. They were evangelizing the Lord Jesus, or telling the good news about the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Now, this is indeed good news. This is indeed good news. Once again, if there were Gentiles in this group, I don't know who they were. I can't see it. There may have been some Gentiles. There may have been some proselytes. You've heard me say before, there's no doubt truth here, that there were Gentiles who hung around the synagogues, who on the Sabbath would go down to the synagogue to be with the Jews, because even they understood that the Jews had the true God, that they had the Word of God. And they understood that their own gods were idols and that there was nothing going on there. But so far as I can tell, at this point, we still have evangelizing going on among the Jews only. But a good number turned to the Lord. And then we get this. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Now, let me say a little bit about this. You will notice that the tidings, the good news of what was going on in Antioch, came to the ears of the church. Let me ask a silly question. Did you ever see a building with ears? Did you ever in your life see a, of course not. That's stupid. And yet, how many people out there think of the church as a building? The church is people. It's very obviously people. It is never treated in the New Testament as anything other than the people. The church are those individuals, those people who have been drawn by the Holy Spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they heard. Now think of this. I cannot imagine what it must have been in Jerusalem to get this news back. You know, there are people up in Antioch, and they are telling people up there of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, people are being saved. There are all kinds of people who are believing this and turning to the Lord Jesus. Well, what are you going to do, Jerusalem? Well, the people in Jerusalem, the apostles, have the immediate answer. No problem for them. They sent Barnabas up there. Now, Barnabas is a man. We've already seen Barnabas. We know that his name means the son of consolation. We first saw him way back in the at the end of the sixth chapter of Acts. I believe it may have even been earlier. Actually, it was earlier, wasn't it? We first saw him way back there at the end of the fourth chapter of Acts, actually. His real name was Joses, but he was surnamed Barnabas, which means the son of consolation, paraklesios, the son of consolation. And the word consolation, paraklesios, is related to our word paraclete, one called alongside to help. This man was a helper and an encourager. And I don't know if he was a great teacher or not, or a powerful preacher, but he was an encourager. And we've seen already he was the one who brought Saul of Tarsus to the church at Jerusalem when they wouldn't receive Paul or Saul. They knew him as a murderous killer who had persecuted the Christians. They wouldn't receive him. And it was this man Barnabas who brought him in and said, "Look, this guy is not the guy you think he is. He's been saved and changed." And on the testimony of Barnabas, they brought Saul of Tarsus into the church at Jerusalem. And here we have Barnabas again. Now, I like the idea also about Barnabas that he was ready and available to be used. Do you notice that? I don't know how he made a living. I don't know where he got his money. Certainly, he must have had things going on in his life. Most of us are busy. But the church here in Jerusalem, Peter, James, John, the other believers, bring him in and say, "Look, we would like for you to go to head north, to get out of here and go as far north as Antioch and see what's going on and encourage these people all that you can and then bring us back word." And off Barnabas goes. Well, boy, this is just the beginning of Barnabas's travels, because he is going out on missionary journeys. He's going out on the first major missionary journey, as we will see later on. But here it is in verse 23, he came and he saw the grace of God, and he was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Now, this is a wonderful, beautiful testimony about Barnabas, isn't it? Look, he was a good man, and he was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Let me ask you something. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people would say that about you and me? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to have that kind of testimony about us? He went north and much people were added to the Lord. And he said, "You know, I need some help here. I need some help here." Meanwhile, where is Saul? Well, Saul has gone back to Tarsus. He had left Jerusalem. He had left Damascus, as you know, running for his life. He had spent time out in Arabia, and finally he had gone back home. Now, I don't know exactly why he went back home. Maybe he went back home just to be refreshed. Maybe he went back home because he didn't know what else to do. How long has he been back home? Well, not long, maybe, but he has been waiting at home. And I think it's interesting to take a look at Saul and to see him in this light. Now, here is a man, Saul of Tarsus, who not many chapters hence, we're going to see his name changed to Paul. Here is a man who is going to write a good part of the New Testament, the man who is going to take the gospel out to the throughout the known world at that time, the Mediterranean world anyway, and who is going to have an impact on Christianity that just goes beyond anything that we can imagine almost. And yet here he is sitting at home in Tarsus, and there are few people who even know about him probably. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to out there. I don't know who you are or where you are, and I don't know what you are. If you are a believer, I can tell you this. The Lord has certain things that he wants you to do. If you're sitting there saying, well, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. Well, neither do I know what the Lord wants you to do. But I know that he's got plans for your life. And maybe his plan for your life is that you do no more than be a faithful husband or father. Maybe his plans for your life are that you teach in the local assembly. Maybe his plans for your life are that you go out to Africa with the gospel. I don't know. But I do know this. His plans for your life cannot and will not be thwarted. I don't know what Saul thought when he went back to his hometown of Tarsus, but I know that one day Barnabas showed up and he found him and he said, look, I'm going down to Antioch. There are all kinds of things going on down there. I need to go down there and help him. And frankly, Saul, I haven't got exactly what it takes. I can do some encouraging and I can do some consoling. I can be a helper and a supporter. They need good, sound, solid teaching, and that's where you come in. And I'm sure that he must have said something like that to Saul. And Saul, of course, did not waste any time. He went to Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Boy, that's great. That is the kind of thing that is exciting to hear. It certainly excites me. They were there for a whole year, meeting with the assembly at Antioch and teaching the people. And, you know, any assembly that gets going, it needs good, sound, solid teaching. An assembly of Christians that are not well taught are going to be in a lot of trouble. And I can't imagine a better guy to do the teaching than this man Saul. Here was a man who knew the word. He was solid. He understood the gospel. He had been directly taught by the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected, glorified Christ. If you don't believe that, read Galatians chapter 1. He tells us this himself. And here was a man who could teach. And so he and Barnabas spend a whole year there at Antioch, and we find that the disciples, this is at the end of verse 26 now, were called Christians first in Antioch. Well, what had they been called up to that time? Well, they'd been called Nazarenes. They had been called followers of the way. They had been called heretics by the Pharisees and many of the Jews. They were called many things. And this word Christian means, it's a Greek name. And it's not at all surprising that this Greek name from the word Christos, meaning the anointed one, would have been applied to these people in Antioch because this was a Greek-speaking area. People who lived in Antioch, like the people who lived in Tarsus, were Greek-speaking. This was their mother tongue, and no doubt in the assembly of saints there in Antioch, they were speaking Greek. And the teaching probably was going on in Greek. I'm sure that Paul and Barnabas, or Saul, his name was still at this time, had the Septuagint or Septuagint with them, and that was the Old Testament translated into Greek. And the teaching was going on in Greek, and these people were called by a Greek name, which means Christ's ones, or that's about as close a meaning as I can get to it. Those who are followers of the Christ, or Christos, and that means that these were Jews who acknowledged Jesus as Messiah. Now, this is important, because many did not, and today many still do not. But here are individuals who believed that he was the Christ, and people began calling them Christians, the name that will go out throughout the Mediterranean area and out to the ends of the earth, and it's the name that we as believers are called by today. Now, if you have a denominational name, and that denominational name is important to you, I'll pray for you. I don't know where you would get that, because I don't, but I know this. This name, Christian, is a name that is common to all believers who trust in the Lord Jesus, and I love it. Wonderful that they should have been called this. Well, let's go on and see what else we have. We'll go on down through chapter 11, Lord willing. In those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So here are these individuals, Barnabas and Saul. These are traveling men, aren't they? They take up a collection up in Antioch and out among the Greeks, and they say, you know, we have got to help the brethren out down in Jerusalem. Now, that's good. That's the way it ought to be, isn't it? Here are the people who have blessed us spiritually. They sent people out to help us. Now we are going to help them. They ministered to us spiritually. We will minister to them in the things that are temporal and of this world. And that's exactly what they did. The brethren in those days, you see, were really a unity. They were really one. They really stood shoulder to shoulder with one another and understood that in Christ they were one. They understood things that we need to understand today in these difficult times we are living in. We're about to run out of time here, and we're going to take it up, Lord willing, at chapter 12 next time. I want you, all of you out there who are believers, to remember we are one in Christ. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.